This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, with children going back to school across the country this week, following hot on the heels of last week's matric results, which undoubtedly means a media scrum of attention, which sadly dies down on this important issue as soon as January fades into February, we thought it best to focus on the class of 2019, what happened, the outcome, which has certainly been trumpeted by some as signs of improvements in the education space, with the class of 2019 securing a pass rate above 80%, and whether or not, when you scratch the surface, this indeed bears out the reality of what is taking place at some of our schools. I'm joined now by Nick Spall, senior researcher in the economics department at Stellenbosch University and director of Funda Wonde, which is all about teaching reading for meaning at foundation phase. We've also got on the line Professor Elizabeth Henning, director for the Center for Education Practice Research at UJ's Soweto campus. And we've got Elijah Mschlanger, who is a spokesperson for the Department of Education. And just lastly, we've also got Herman Pretorius, who is the Institute of Race Relations Campaigns Coordinator. The Institute has released a report today entitled Thrown Under the Bus, The Future of the Class of 2020, Counting as a Bellwether on Education. So to all of you, thank you for joining us. All the best for the new year. Professor Henning, perhaps you can kick us off. The matric class of 2019, as I said, made history by exceeding an 80% pass rate for the first time. And we had the president saying that it's the highest pass rate since 1994. And to quote him, is a clear signal that government's substantial investment in education, in pupil and teacher support and educational infrastructure is yielding results. Is that statement entirely accurate? Do you agree with that assessment?
It's really a difficult one because, of course, it's a little bit better and, of course, everybody feels a little bit better about it. But I think the reality is somewhat different, and I'm sure Nick Spall will say something about how many people did we lose on the way and so on. So I'm not going to do that. I just want to mention I'm at the moment at Nelson Mandela University at the National Annual Conference on Science and Maths Education, and I've just come from a session where the main topic was that teachers in the primary school are finding it hard to teach mathematics. It's very hard to teach it conceptually when you have a curriculum that goes fast and that expects all sorts of other things to do, for you to do in a very short space of time. So it's all going too fast for kids and for teachers. And the effect of that is, as I've said many times before, matric starting grade one, okay, maybe earlier, but let's say grade one. And if we don't get that right, it will take a really, really long, long time before we really have a proper improvement.
It does seem we're chasing, on the curriculum front, quantity over quality. And if you can't ensure that pupils grasp a concept and have quickly then got to move on to the next item on the curricular agenda, it does become a case of catching up. And increasingly, that's where those who have the resources to go to extra lessons or to go to institutions like Edify here in Johannesburg, you will be at a substantial advantage to those primarily in the public sector. Nick, we'll come back to that point. But on this issue of the dropout rate, it is well known that the number is seemingly made to look better because we don't talk about those who started at grade R or grade one and how many dropped out. So we really should be looking at how many of those that started at grade one are actually finishing with a matric. What is that figure?
Yeah. So of 100 students that started school 12 years ago, only about half of those wrote matric. So 52% of them wrote matric. And only 42% of them passed matric. So if we take into account the fact that some of those that didn't pass matric in 2019 but who are from the class of 2019 go on to get matric next year or the year after that, the figure is around 55%. So of a starting cohort of about 100 kids, only 55 of them will ever get matric. And I think that that's the reason why a lot of commentators have been saying that the matric pass rate is only one indicator among many, And that while it did improve, and that improvement is not something that we should ignore, I think that improvement is reflecting other indicators that are also improving, like the TIMS and PIRLS results that are showing maths and reading are improving at other grades. I do think that it's disingenuous that we see the matric pass rate in isolation from a number of other indicators that are also really important.
No, absolutely. One must always look at a system as a whole and not in individual components. Elijah, what do you make of the comments from our first two panelists tonight saying that, yes, the department needs to be commended for the progress that is being made, but we must also recognize that the challenges are still there and many?
Oh, it's hard. I mean, they are right. They are making some good observations, which we have also acknowledged. We have never said that we have arrived. We always point out the challenges that needs to be tackled. If you go back to the speech that the minister made when she announced the matric results, after she spoke about the pass rate, she then moved on to outline the challenges that needed to be tackled. And one of them is the whole issue of learners not reaching grade 12, but also to focus on reading and improving numeracy and literacy rates. So all of those things are there, and they need to be tackled head-on. She spoke about the immediate implementation of the skills-focused curriculum. All of those things, they need to be dealt with for us to reach better levels than where we are now. We acknowledge that everybody needs to come on board and work together to see the South Africa that we want to see in terms of learning outcomes in our basic education system.
And I want to come back to that point that Professor Henning raised right up front on the curriculum and quantity over quality, perhaps. Is this something that the DBE is looking at and engaged with? Because it's not the first time I've heard that from a professor and someone who's steeped in the field of education, bemoaning the fact that this curriculum is overloading many students. Elijah?
Sorry, I thought you were talking to the other guest.
No, that was to you. Just to find out if the department is having a look at the curriculum and this refrain from teachers in particular saying that it's a focus on quantity over quality and they've got to move too fast and the kids are being left behind.
Not really. The curriculum caters for a lot of learners. There are 13 million of them, so you can't discount the quantity. And those are the learners that we need to look after in our schools. As a result of the access that we committed to delivering on 20 years or so ago. And we've been able to achieve that access. So what we need to do now is to make sure that with the learners that are in our schools, they all get a good education. And we know right now, as we speak, schools are full. That's quantity. So you can't...
I wasn't referring to the quantity of students. I was on the curriculum front. I was referring to the workload, the amount of learning material.
I'm with you completely. So I'm just saying that we also need to acknowledge that we have a lot of learners in the system that we need to take care of. And for us to be able to do that, we need to pass the curriculum in a manner that will give them the skills that they require. So what we don't have right now is a uniform approach in terms of the pace or the pacing of teaching and learning in our schools, where all our schools are performing at exactly the same rate, teaching from day one. Not all our schools will be teaching tomorrow from day one. Others will be dealing with other issues, and then they'll have to catch up later. And we acknowledge that the curriculum might be running fast. That's why we create these additional tuition opportunities for learners to be able to go back to areas which they did not catch and be able to revise and get teachers to explain to them. So we are not oblivious of that reality. We are aware of it. That's why we then create all these other opportunities. I mean, if you look in the Free State, they were already teaching last week. They were not waiting for tomorrow. Here in the Northwest, the DG visited last week on Thursday or Friday. they were already teaching. It is because they understand the point that we are making about quantity over quality. So they are starting ahead. In fact, I counted about four or five provinces who were already teaching last week, schools open, because they want to address that issue that you're talking about of running too fast. So now they understand that learners will benefit if more teaching and learning time is created to address exactly that particular challenge.
Herman, we'll come to you. Professor Henning, you raised the point. What do you make of Elijah's response as to how the department and schools are trying to tackle this by way of example, starting a week early? Will that be effective?
That's very hard for me to say. I'm speaking strictly from the point of view of child cognitive development. So it's a psychological view, and very few children can learn as fast as the curriculum for grade 1 and 2 requires. It's really very difficult. And unless we, and I think there is there's something, some project or program of consultation with researchers and others about adapting possibly the early mathematics curriculum, which I think is particularly fast. And, you know, just one fact to leave it there. It's been shown in many studies that for kids to understand the difference between the concept of what is 5 and what is 6 takes, on average, this is now in the U.S., 6 months. And if you see the rate at which, for instance, just number education goes through the curriculum, it's really too fast for the kids. They don't get to cement their understanding well enough to progress, because if the cementing happens properly, then later on it goes much faster. I heard a lot of that today at the conference too, so I'm not alone. But I want to also say at the same time, I am quite aware of what the DBE does. I have to commend this department. They really inspire a lot of teachers, and the teachers that I see and that I come across, not just in my work, but otherwise as well, these are super people, but they are humans. And I think the human part of what the teachers are trying to do, it's not easy. My entire sympathy for education lies with the foundation-based teachers. And so, Elijah, I agree with you. What you guys are doing is great. And our teachers, I'm not a teacher basher. No way. No way. I'm a protagonist for teachers, which is why I'm saying, please, we really need to consider how fast this can go. You know, kids will go fast. They will go fast in any case. They don't need a teacher to assist them. They have perhaps genetically or due to where they grew up or what they grew up with, gotten something that others didn't. But the average children that we work with are kids who need a slower pace, more intense work, less rote learning, and more joy and playfulness in learning. Okay, that's enough for me.
Professor Henning, thank you very much. Herman, I want to bring you in now and back to this issue on dropout rates, because in your report thrown under the school bus, you have a look at Gauteng enrollments in grades 11 and 12 from 2009 to 2019 and find that there is a very clear drop-off in grade 11. There's been a stark contrast in the number of grade 11s and matrics, suggesting a unique reason for grade 11 learners dropping out before reaching matric. What are you implying here?
Well, we're implying that these kids are being failed by an educational system that either can't involve them sufficiently, or that education in the main is seen as less beneficial than those kids have at that point going to become, you know, earners for their families or become enter the jobs market, as it were. But that fall-off rate in the report, we say we don't give a clear conclusion as to why it happens. We make the point that it is concerning that it happens. If we're going to look at the broader context of free education, now that's a great ambition to get as many South African kids a university education as possible. That's absolutely admirable. But the point that we're trying to make with these figures is that you can't just, and I think Nick and Professor Henning have said that, you can't just look at the matric pass rate and congratulate yourself, if you're a politician or in government, and congratulate yourself on the highest ever rate of passing matric. And this isn't a dispersion or casting any aspersions on what the matrics have accomplished. And, you know, really congratulations to them and all success. But as was mentioned before, you look at 1.2 million grade ones entering in 2005, and then you look at the 2017 results, for example, and out of the 1.2 million grade ones, only 55,000 kids end up passing matric maths with more than 50%, and that is an incredibly worrying statistic.
55,000 out of 1.2 million passing with more than 50% matric level mathematics, and that is a massive problem. Nick, to bring you in here, I know of the three R's, certainly reading is your big one, but arithmetic is the one number that stands out for me at the headline level from this class of 2019. There was a 3.4% drop in the number of students who passed maths. It was down from 58% in 2018 to 54.6%. What would you say is one of the key challenges here? I've had it put to me that it's the supply of teachers. We just can't find enough school teachers of maths and science at that level.
So I think there's a number. I'm glad that you touched on maths, because I think that this is one of the statistics that wasn't highlighted and should have been highlighted in the class of 2019 matric results, because it's not just that there was a decline in the pass rate, there was also a decline in the number of students that were writing maths. So if you look at the 2018 numbers and the 2019 numbers, there was actually an 11% decline in the number of maths passes in 2019 compared to 2018, and that's at both the 30% level and the 40% level. It's an 11% decline at both levels. So that's from about 135,000 learners to 121,000 learners in 2019. And that is actually one of the statistics that the department mentions in its action plan to 2030 and the national development plan, is the number of students that are passing mathematics. Because if you want to get into any degree, for example, in commerce, sciences, medicine, health, law, engineering, any of those things require a pass in mathematics. So that means that we've got 15,000 fewer students that are eligible to study any of those degrees from the class of 2019. But to come to your point, which I think is well made, none of the problems that we see in matric can be traced back to 10, 11, or 12. All of the problems that we're seeing can be traced back to deficits that these students are acquiring in the primary school years, where they're not acquiring the foundations of reading for meaning and calculating with understanding in grades 1, 2, and 3. And I think that's the critical take-home message here is, if we want to improve the system, not just the matric pass rate, but the system, all million kids, we really need to focus on what's going on in primary school and try and channel the South African public's media attention and energy and resources towards fixing that problem, rather than our national jamboree in January every year when the matric results come out. This is the end of the race. We need to try and focus more of our attention and resources in primary schools.
And the start of the race. Elijah, that said, I'm sure the department is very well aware of the urgency of the matter and the challenge at hand. What plans are being put in place to ensure that we can address those critical foundation phase skills of the three R's and get children reading for meaning, writing, and also calculating with understanding as well? And let's be more specific there on the supply of teachers. Surely there's an intervention there that can help channel and fund and ensure that we've got more teachers going into the critical areas of maths and science at foundation level.
No, the plans are there. In fact, we work on a whole range of measures that we look to them helping us to make the improvements in the foundation phase. One of the things that we're doing there is to recruit teachers to go study in those subjects. I mean, those subjects that we expect are needed, such as math and technology, and we fund them through our Funza Lushaka bursary scheme, which we use to send a lot of them to universities to study. And we also train teachers. We have a math improvement plan, which was done last year, building on the work that was done previously, but also on the analysis that was conducted. on the performance of learners at foundation phase and also at high school level. So we have that we're implementing teachers. We work with CASME, we work with other organizations that specialize in mathematics teaching to sharpen the skills of our teachers. Most holidays, our teachers are not on holiday. They are studying, and we visit them to see the training that they are getting. We've partnered with different organizations that specialize in these areas. We have done an audit of our math teachers. We know how many they are. We know how many are aging and how we need to replace them. And we are also focusing on the whole issue of coding and robotics training teachers. So teacher training is an ongoing activity that we engage in the department. Even as we speak, I mean, there's a team that is currently working to train teachers in here in Johannesburg on areas of great need, because we are mindful of the needs of the MDP and the targets that we need to meet. So we are working according to all these things. That's why in every speech that the minister makes, we'll start by saying, this is what the MDP wants us to do, just to remind the Africans that we are not working without a plan, but we have a plan and we're guided by it. So that even when we notice the decline that Nick was talking about, we know that it's in the context of the MDP, and we therefore need to put in place appropriate measures to work towards that target. So everything is guided by that plan that basically gives us direction, and all interventions that we embark upon with the partnership of universities and other organizations, all of those things are done to redirect us in the right way. I mean, tomorrow we'll have our basic education, the Hotla, and Thursday and Friday. All stakeholders in the basic education sector will be there so that we're able to look at all issues that need to be tackled in the basic education system. You know, foundation phase is critical, starting with ECD and the migration. All of those things are a response to what our students have been calling for, that we needed to fix the education system from the bottom, because a metric is not a good measure of the system. That's why we also said we needed another national assessment examination at grade 9 with the GEC certificate we're talking about. It's to do exactly that, to help us see elsewhere in the system what is happening before matric.
Well, thank you very much. That's all the time we have for, unfortunately. I was hoping for one more follow-up question, but we'll have to invite you back. Elijah Mhlanga, spokesperson for the Department of Basic Education. Herman Pretorius, IRR Campaigns Coordinator. Professor Elizabeth Henning, Director for the Center for Education Practice Research at UJ Soweto Campus. And Nick Spall, Senior Researcher at Stellenbosch University, running the rule over the class of 2019. Well, that's a wrap from the Classic Business Team tonight. Thanks to sound engineer Mataba Taba Radebe and producer Andries Mhlanga. Thanks for tuning in to the show. We'll see you at 5:30 tomorrow. Good night.